times to history and science. And I, for one, am so glad that Lady Bird books have continued all through the years, and now we get them in all sorts of different stories. But one of the titles around that time, they were around history and science, and one of them was about how the motor car works. And although it was aimed at children, it was well worth reading if you were starting out driving. It was an easy explanation of what happened under the bonnet. It'd be quite useless these days because engines have changed so much. If you open the bonnet of a modern car, you're confronted with a confusing set of boxes. There's no distributor cap, no points to change. Everything has become even more of a mystery. And if you do take your car into the garage and explain what the problem is, you don't have a greasy-handed mechanic come out anymore, do you? They all wear plastic gloves these days and tell you that they will do a diagnostic test. Of course, it's perfectly possible to drive a car without any understanding of how it actually works. Keep filling it with fuel or charging it and leave the rest to regular servicing. Today's gospel describes two common events that most of us do take for granted. We sow seeds and they grow. Or rather, those of us who now know how to look after them do. The first story tells us of someone who sowed seeds, then went about their normal daily routine, sleeping at night and waking in the day. And all the while, the seed begins to do its work of growing, thanks to the earth in which it lies. The earth produces of itself, we heard. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But the planter doesn't know how it happens. Even these days, when scientific study has provided the answer, it still seems a mysterious process if you watch it happen. And the second story is the well-known parable of the mustard seed. And some Bible commentators wonder which plant Jesus was referring to. It was most likely the black mustard seed, an annual which grows to between 3 and 4 metres in a season, and birds do nest in its branches. But Jesus is making the point that such growth from a tiny seed is truly remarkable. The kingdom of God, we heard, is as if someone would scatter seed. And again, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? It is like a mustard seed. And Jesus describes the kingdom by metaphor and story. Its mystery is deep. Its reach is broad. So he uses metaphors that will be familiar to his hearers and that they can understand and interpret. Jesus' descriptions of a kingdom don't describe any kingdom his listeners would have been familiar with. And they are hardly the terms we would use to describe the United Kingdom or any other monarchy. They draw on the mystery that is God's action in the world. And the challenge is to recognize it and to enter into that mystery. The world can seem a difficult and godless place. Perhaps we ask with the psalmist in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Or perhaps we make the focus of that question the world itself. We look for signs of God's action, but we fail to see them. We ask when God's kingdom will arrive, triumphant, clear to all. When will our churches be filled with people who have turned to God? When will the world notice and believe? But we look in the wrong place and expect the wrong thing. The kingdom of God is a mystery, stealthily growing and affecting the world in ways that we don't fully understand. But our job, our important job, is to scatter the seed. We don't understand how it grows, and in many cases, we don't even see all the results for ourselves. But in God's remarkable way, people are sustained by the food that grows from those tiny, tiny seeds, or sheltered by the branches of the surprising foliage that appears just when they need it. Jesus' words describe something tentative, a possibility, and a mystery. It is as if someone would scatter seed. Are we open to the possibility of scattering? Are we willing to be a conduit in God's extraordinary project, even if the mystery is beyond our understanding? And yet, sometimes we are there to harvest the grain or join others in the shelter of the largest shrub, and to rejoice with them at God's marvellous work. It can sometimes be frustrating being part of the kingdom, can't it? Human nature is that we want to see something through from start to finish. We can't bear it if we're not there to see the end product. We know what we're doing, and we don't want any interference from anyone else. But God knows differently. He knows the strength of each of us. You know, he would, wouldn't he? They were a personal gift from him to us. And all of them are needed to enable growth. So when it comes to sowing seeds in his kingdom, he'll use the same method as if he were planting seeds in the ground. First, he'll seek out those who understand the quality of the soil, the type of community we live in. Then, he'll seek out those who have the skills to enrich and prepare the soil, the listeners, the communicators, who can get alongside people and build relationships. Next, he'll recruit the labourers to start digging the soil. That's those who have the skills to start nurturing the community by providing what is needed for growth. And finally, when the harvest is ready, he will seek out those who are needed to reap it. Those who have the gift of helping others to grow in faith. So can you see now why growing God's kingdom is not just a random scattering of seeds, but a well-managed process that requires team effort and a large variety of skills? And this is what I brought to show you. It says on there, plant seeds of hope. The most precious seeds there are The world is full of people who believe there is no hope, and with good reason. We live in a world where there is war and famine on unbelievable scales. Violence on our streets increases by the week, and we are called to give them that hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do it through prayer and discernment, through team working, through valuing each other's skills and accepting that we might not be the finishers of the process, but we will have made a valuable contribution along the journey. The joy will be in knowing that God invited you into the garden to do your bit, and that you have planted well. And we can't let Father's Day pass without acknowledging the important role you fathers have in planting those seeds of hope. You don't have to be a biological father. You can be all of those things that James read out earlier. So if you are a father in some other form than a biological father, you too are included. May God bless you all richly and supply you with all the seeds you need to bring hope to those who are close to you. I realise that those of you at the back may not be able to see this very well, so I'm going to put it down there, and you'll be able to see it when you come to the communion table. Amen.